great to see everybody this morning. If you're following along, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 57. A lawyer was reading out the will of a rich man to various people mentioned in the will. He says, "To you, my loving wife Mary, who stood by me throughout our marriage, I leave the house and 2 million. To my daughter Jody, who kept the business going, I leave the yacht, the business, and 1 million. And to my brother Dan, who hated me, argued with me constantly, and thought that I would never mention him in my will, well, you're wrong. Hi, Dan." You know, there's a lot of humor that surrounds the uncomfortable subject of death, and humans deal with some of these uncomfortable subjects in a humorous way. It seems to take the edge of it. But this morning, we're going to look at some verses here that will take the edge off of that event that everyone dreads so much. Let's read our text this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 50. Paul told the Corinthians, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall it come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Verse 56. "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see there that Paul is talking about the abolition of that second death. Is what he's actually talking about. The death that Adam and Eve experienced, or which was really the first death for them. For us, it's kind of the second death, because when we pass away, when we don't go to be with God, then that's that second death. But for them, it was the first time, you could say, in a sense, that they died. When God pushed them out of the Garden of Eden, and they became, you know, subject to death. You know, for loved ones, whether they be parents, siblings, spouses, relatives, or friends, the experience of death is one of the most difficult times imaginable that we face. Yet, if the deceased individual is saved, then there's victory in the face of that death. We celebrate that they've gone on to reap their reward in heaven, never to be bothered by all the problems of this earth. Yet there are tears there for missing them from this place that will never see them again. Inevitably, we who remain alive must answer that unanswered question, why? Could anyone have prevented this? And so on. And then there are sudden tears there. Well, the only way to prevent it would have been in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve not to have fallen. But that happened, and each and every one of us sin in our own way, at our own time, in our own life. So we're subject to that. So, this assurance that Paul gives those who are heavy-hearted from the Bible that was written through Paul's hands but came from God himself and in the Scripture is telling the church in Corinth that there's a victory in the face of death. The comfort that's available to those who face death and a healing to the shattered emotions that come out of that. That there's still strength in the face of death for the weakness we feel sometimes when we're facing that we could not prevent it. The Apostle Paul writes that death has no sting because through the power and death of Jesus, he took it away. Jesus took away the power of death upon us. Satan made sure we had that power put on us. He made sure that we would be subject to that. He tried to destroy God's creation. He tried to thwart God's plan. For he himself and those who followed him, they faced that ultimate punishment. and he's like a desperate person drowning in the sea. He was grasping at every straw he could that could help him keep him afloat. Now, when someone passes away, it's never pleasant. But it's one of those things that we can turn into something to celebrate sometimes when that person dies in the Lord, when they take their place up there. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is victory. For him to live, he was going to preach Christ. So when he left this earth, he was going to get his rest and his reward. So we pass from this world, which is temporary, to that which is eternal. Either eternal bliss in arms of God in heaven, or eternal condemnation in the fires of hell. That's a choice. So how does Jesus take away the sting of death? Well, first of all, Jesus is our loving Savior. We talked a little bit this morning in the study of Jeremiah about writing on the heart God's law. And what that means is that it means something to you. When someone says, oh, that touched my heart, that meant that it got deep inside of you and it stirred emotions in you. We hope our spouses bring that to us. We hope our children bring that to us. We hope our loved ones bring that to us. And most of all, we hope that for us, Jesus brings that to us also. That we love Him like He loves us. If we love Him that much, then all this church and all this activity and all that we sacrifice and all that we do it gladly like we do it for our children. I think, you know, raising a child to 18 now, it used to be, years ago it was 180,000. I'm sure it's like probably 280,000 now. But it's quite costly to do that. And we do it because we love our children. And we want them to grow up. And we want that to happen. In that same way, we need to have the love that Christ has for us. Then everything gets easy. You know, the prophet Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter, he promised this. And we read throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the emphasis where Jesus constantly cares for the hurting. Jesus cares for us. And hopefully we care for Him back. He loves us. Well, hopefully we love Him back. So Jesus has not changed in all these years. He still cares and loves for each and every one of us. The writers of Hebrews in Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He didn't come down and give us anything new. He didn't add anything to anything out there. It's all the same as when He said it and He instructed His apostles to write what they wrote. It's all still there. Jesus Christ cares about broken hearts today. He didn't give shallow answers when talking about death and dying and unfortunate stuff. He came to help us to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. For He truly walks with us each and every step of the way. And He'll walk us home someday. And death has no sting. Where is His power in the face of a loving Savior? Secondly, Jesus is an understanding friend. He brings more sympathy. In the 14th chapter of John, He brings hope into what happens beyond the grave. He does not answer all the questions, but He assures us of that great eternity. At this moment in time, it's not always easy to understand why our loved ones leave us and go away through, you know, the natural act of passing away. In time, the curtain will be pulled back and we'll understand fully. We'll see beyond the mystery of this moment. We'll see beyond that veil. God knows about our confusion, our loss, the tears we shed and all that. Thirdly, Jesus the Christ asked us to trust Him. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke of asking and receiving. The disciple, Matthew, in Matthew 7, 11, he records Jesus Christ Himself saying, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who love Him? If we, as sinful people, give gifts to our children, we don't give them a snake or an animal that'll bite them or anything like that. We don't try to bring any harm to them. How much more will our Heavenly Father give us the things we need and reward us in that way? So, ask God for the strength to deal with the awful things that happen in life sometimes. Ask Him to give you strength so that you can look at death and not fear it like the world does. You know, the world fears death because that's the end. You know, they put you in a box or they cremate you and you're no longer seen, you're no longer heard from. And that's where they think it ends. That's where they see the final destination. That's where they see the stop sign of life is there. But there is no end there. There's only a future. A future with God or away from God, the choice that we have. In the Garden of Gethsemane, at the most difficult time in his life, Christ trusted his Father. He asked if it could possibly pass away from him, that he wouldn't have to go through this to make it so. But that was the only way. And he submitted to it. As Colossians chapter 2 says, he submitted to death. He was just as much God as his Father. But he allowed himself to submit to the punishment that you and I and Satan and his angels deserve for our sin. And he took it upon himself. And he died for our sins. He suffered that pain and punishment. And rose again. The first to be born again. So, he trusted his Father. So, Jesus always said, don't be troubled. Trust me and trust my Father. And that's what we need to do today. In all the awful things that come upon us in life, and of course, passing away in the end or having our loved ones pass away, that's not the end, but only a new beginning. We have to remember that. There's a song that's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Let's look at some of the verses in there. He says, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Just keep your mind on Jesus. It's better just ahead. The Lord will fight your battle if you His word obey. Yield not to the tempter, but go the Bible way. Your best friend may deceive you, your health may fail you too, but keep your mind on Jesus. He will make a way for you. His health and a life giver, and enemies conqueror too. If you trust and obey Him, He will surely take you through. And when this life is over, all trials and tribulations shall end. Oh, what joy awaits us. King Jesus is our friend. We shall reign with Him forever on heaven's golden shores. Oh, what a great rejoicing when we're saved forevermore. The chorus goes, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know, those words say it as good as it could ever get. We'll reign with Him forever. Now, someone has tried to describe forever sometimes, and if you think of it, you know, as a prison sentence, if you go to the wrong place, well, the prisoner, they generally have a calendar, and they mark each day off. And then slowly that calendar gets closest to that day that they get released. And they have a hope of getting out at that certain time. Well, every day that you tick off on the calendar, if you wind up in punishment, there's another day added on the end, and another day added on the end. And it goes on forever and ever, with no hope, no relief, only the sorrow of a missed opportunity. But if you're in heaven, those days go on. There's a song that goes, if it's been 10,000 years, we don't have a day left to celebrate and sing the praises of Jesus. And someone once said, it's kind of like, what if you took a steel ball the size of the earth and let a little bird walk around that ball over and over again, how long would it take that little bird to walk until the two halves would come apart because he wore out the middle of it? Well, forever is much longer than that. So it's hard to wrap our minds around those things, like it's hard to wrap our minds the vastness of the universe. But it is just like that. So if we leave this journey here, we have another journey ahead of us. A much brighter, a much more beautiful journey. Death is not the end, but only the beginning. In Valladolid, Spain, where Christopher Columbus died in 1506, stands a monument commemorating the great discovery. Perhaps the most interesting feature of the memorial is the statue of a lion destroying one of the Latin words that had been part of Spain's motto for years. Before Columbus made his voyages, the Spaniards thought that they had reached the outer reaches of the earth. That the motto was Ni plus ultra, which means no more beyond. The word being tore up by the lion is ni, or no, making it read plus ultra. Columbus had proved that there was indeed more beyond what they thought there was. And there's more beyond what you and I can see. There's more beyond this world, this universe, and there's places we have not seen. And God prepares a place for us that's all beautiful and all special and all for those who follow Him. Again, as Paul said, death has no sting. We needn't worry about these things if we've got the right relationship with God. And that's where it's real important. If you don't have that right relationship with Him, you have plenty to worry about. But if you accept Jesus as a Savior, and you accept that there's no way for you to make it on your own or to change your life, and you repent and turn around from that life, and that you obey Christ in that watery grave of baptism, just like He was buried, we're buried in that water, and we come out, we're that new creature, we're that new person, with new hopes and new dreams, and we're more alive than we've ever been in our life. And each and every day we can celebrate that close relationship with Him. And each and every day that we live on this earth is special. And when we leave this earth, the specialness just gets greater and just begins. What a wonderful thing to be in a relationship with Christ. What a wonderful thing is to accept His saving grace. And what a wonderful life you can have as a Christian by just doing that and following Him each and every day. I don't know what your needs are this morning, if you have need of the church. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?